You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
It's chaos out there. I was just telling you, I got fed some doom on the X feed, on the X algo.
I was an Oster previously, so I had no idea about it.
Yeah, big assassination here in the United States. United Healthcare CEO taken out in broad daylight, Midtown Manhattan. Chaos. It had Logan and I doing our Bane voices. Perhaps you were wondering why you would shoot a man before he threw him out of a plane. But I was trying to think of where to start this conversation. I actually think I was thinking about it last night. I sent out a note on Noster because obviously Primal 2.0 is out there. We're going to get to that. But I think it's been about a year, believe it or not. This is on me, hand up, since we've had somebody on the show to talk specifically about Noster, maybe a little less than a year. And I think it's important, particularly for this audience, who may, many of which are already on Noster power users, but there is a subsection of this audience at least, which is Noster curious and not full on in the ecosystem. And I imagine still has this idea in their head that Noster is simply a social media competitor to X, Facebook, whatever it may be. And I think the time that I spent at Nostriga earlier this year at the end of the summer really highlighted to me that there has been this tectonic shift in terms of where the protocol is, where it's going, and the expansive use cases that are coming to market every day. And so I think having you on the show, Milian, you're immersed in the space. I think to start, for anybody out there who's not a Noster power user or isn't on Noster yet, to sort of quell this idea or squash this idea that Noster is simply a social media competitor, what is the state of Noster as it stands today in your point of view?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. I'm delighted to be here. Regarding Noster, kind of what it is, how it's perceived out there, yeah, I think probably the prevalent view that most people who are aware of Noster have about it is that it's like a Twitter competitor or maybe a Blue Sky competitor or something like that. And this is probably the way it's been talked about, mostly like out there in the media, as well as the first breed of applications that was launched were very kind of social media centric. So that's kind of understandable that the majority of the people have that view. But Noster is actually much, much bigger than that. Noster represents our opportunity to fix the internet. It's that big. And maybe when we think about it, maybe it makes sense to frame the problem, kind of frame the situation we're in, where the internet kind of started off as this egalitarian network where all the nodes are equal and users have agency, but it has devolved into something much different in the past couple of decades. So I would probably identify maybe top three problems that the internet has today that Noster has the potential of solving. The first one is user sovereignty. So given that the internet has devolved to this situation where it's essentially controlled by a dozen big companies like Twitter / X, Facebook, Google, etc. A handful of companies basically control the entire internet, which means that all of our identities, all of our kind of online lives and all of the content that we post exist in these silos. And all of our user accounts are controlled entirely by the owners of these silos. So that's kind of problem number one that needs to be addressed. You know, this isn't the internet we signed up for. Nostr gives us the opportunity to have every user control their own identity and their own content. The second one is one of authenticity. So when you post something on these like legacy platforms, like Twitter, let's say, I'll pick on Twitter maybe a little bit, but the same idea applies to all of them. When you post something on Twitter, and the users who read that content don't know and can't know that it is actually you who posted it. You know, it's kind of wild that we have heads of state announcing very important things, or like prominent people out there, where there's no assurance whatsoever that they actually posted it. You probably remember the funny episode we had with account either getting hacked or something else going on. We don't know what actually happened, but the fact is that whoever controls Twitter, so a company or maybe one person, has the ability to post from everyone's account. That's just crazy, right? So there is no way to verify the authenticity of any content that's published on these platforms. And this is going to be a bigger problem as we move along, because of the proliferation of AI content and it's the deep fakes and all of that. Like you and Matt talk about it a lot on RHR, where we're just beginning to have this like massive problem there. And again, Nostr has a solution for this, because all Nostr users hold their keys, and all content posted on Nostr is signed by those keys, and you can cryptographically verify that it is the whoever controls this key that posted this particular piece of content. So that's kind of the second category of brokenness, if you will. Excuse me. And then maybe the third one would be just like the perverse incentives that exist in terms of how the business models that have been deployed on these legacy web applications, which are almost exclusively advertising based, which means that the user is not the customer. The user is a product which is being farmed and sold to the real customers, who are the advertisers. And then each of these legacy web companies have the incentive to do crazy things like spy on users, collect as much data as possible on these users, so that they can provide a better product to their customers in terms of like better targeted advertising and so forth. And as far as the product and the service they provide to end users, they're incentivized not to provide the best quality content and the highest quality signal, but they're incentivized to, quote, increase engagement. They're incentivized to get you addicted to kind of endlessly doom scrolling. Like you mentioned before we started recording, you were just doom scrolling on Twitter and you saw this news. And you are, so your interests are not aligned with the interests of these companies that are serving these products. So Nostr is much more than like a social media network kind of competitor. It's the new foundation. It's a protocol that will enable us to rebuild the entire web on this new solid foundation, where where all users are sovereign on the network. They control their own keys. They can authentically sign and publish the content to this network. And then we have the opportunity to build a new breed of businesses on top of this open network that are that have the opportunity to monetize in different ways. And we're starting to work in that space with Primal 2.0 releasing our premium tier for our users. So we can talk about that more if you wish.
Yeah. I think before jumping into the details of the premium tier and why, I mean, it makes sense to pay for the features offered via Primal 2.0. I think going back to the note I mentioned earlier that I sent out yesterday, and I really do think there are stark parallels to early Bitcoin development and the vast misunderstanding of what Bitcoin was and had the potential to be at that point in time, and Noster, where it stands today. I sent out the note, Noster is worse, is better, really hearkening back to Gwern's famous 2011 blog post about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is worse, is better. And that's another thing. I think when you get into the world of competing social media protocols, whatever you want to call them, people will point at Noster and say, like, this doesn't make sense. Like the necessity for relays and caching and this sort of distributed system that the protocol has sort of arisen to isn't efficient to facilitate this type of activity at scale. And you have competitors like Blue Sky, which you mentioned. The Fediverse with Mastodon has been around for a while, and then you have newer competitors like Farcaster on Ethereum coming, and they would all look at Noster and say, "Ah, oh, can't scale. The way it's designed from a primitives level is really not conducive to getting as many people on the protocol as use Twitter or other social media or other internet companies to date." And what would your response to that line of thinking be?
Well, yeah, there are so many parallels to the early Bitcoin, the early days of Bitcoin. One of the kind of most striking similarities was that, of course, Bitcoin was dismissed right out of the gate by the highbrow cryptographers and the elite, let's say the intellectual elite at the time. Similar thing kind of happened to Noster early on. But similarly to Bitcoin, Noster is working. And it's maybe one of those things that doesn't work in theory, but it does in practice. We are bootstrapping this network. We have probably a couple hundred thousand users. So this isn't a big number in terms of kind of in absolute terms when you compare it to the, you know, the mainstream networks, even some of the up and coming networks like Blue Sky. But it is the only network that is actually bootstrapping a censorship resistant self-sovereign protocol from the ground up. And let's maybe dissect, maybe dive into this a little bit more to compare Noster to all of these other networks that you mentioned, just to kind of highlight the differences. So in my view, for a truly decentralized, censorship-resistant, self-sovereign network to be bootstrapped, you need multiple elements. You need, first of all, users who hold their own keys. There's no other way. So right away, Blue Sky falls off. Blue Sky, has one service who holds everyone's keys, right? And in theory, they're saying that people can stand up their own instances and, you know, you can kind of get different trade-offs in these other instances. We're not seeing any of that in practice. We're not seeing that Blue Sky, or the AT protocol, as they call it, is actually being bootstrapped as a protocol. This is actually a company that's, a VC-funded company that acts as a company would. They go ahead and, you know, sign up users, and they control everyone's accounts and so forth. The second aspect of having a decentralized network like this is the ability to run any part of the infrastructure, or the ability for anyone to run any part of the infrastructure here. And in Noster, we're actually seeing this play out. There are thousands of people who are running relays. And this is a permissionless network. You don't need anyone's permission to stand up a relay. And on top of that, we have hundreds of development projects being stood up on top of this network, where you have hundreds of client applications, many different types of services that are being run. I think there's, the last time I looked, there's like almost 40 different development frameworks that are built on to make development on Oster easier. So this gives you an idea about the level of developer adoption of the Oster network. So when you look at the other competing networks, there is Mastodon / Fediverse, which has been around for many, many years. The Bitcoin community had an instance, I think bitcoinhackers.org, ran by NVK for a few years. And it highlighted all of the deficiencies of their approach, where, yes, anyone can stand up an instance, but the person administering that instance is the absolute, has absolute control over that instance, including all of the accounts that are created on that instance. And it's a federated model, so you can kind of connect between a whole bunch of different instances to the extent that the administrators of those instances allow. But if you get banned by one instance, you disappear entirely from the whole network. And famously, the bitcoinhackers.org instance got banned by a bunch of other instances and so forth. So it was quite clear that this kind of federated approach essentially replaced one big dictator, whoever is running Twitter, with a bunch of smaller dictators. And this isn't necessarily an improvement, because you don't get as many eyes on these kind of smaller dictators. You don't get like as many checks and balances. So these guys can actually do whatever they want. So it's quite clear that this federated approach is inferior to what Nostr is doing. When it comes to other players, you mentioned Farcaster and what's being stood up in the, let's say, altcoin land. They do have some interesting characteristics. For example, I think other than Nostr, Farcaster is the only network where users indeed are holding their own keys. So props there. But as far as I can tell, there is no evidence that anyone other than people who are running like a handful of big instances is actually running the infrastructure. So people who are familiar with Bitcoin will kind of draw a very astute comparison between the Bitcoin network and, let's say, something like Ethereum, where Bitcoiners run nodes. There are tens of thousands of Bitcoiners out there that run nodes, and this is what makes the network resilient. This is what makes it very hard to change the protocol and so forth. Whereas such culture doesn't exist really in Ethereum. There's only a handful of big nodes that everyone kind of connects to. That's why in Ethereum you can have a roadmap and you can say on such and such date we'll do a hard fork and so forth. So a similar kind of philosophy is present in the Farcaster network. So when you kind of assess the entire landscape, it's quite obvious that Nostr really stands alone as the only credible network, the only credible network that's being stood up in a truly censorship-resistant kind of self-sovereign way, where, again, users hold their keys and are running large amount of the infrastructure. And again, there are similarities there with Bitcoin. In Nostr, there are a couple thousand relays being stood up by plebs out there. And this is probably enough at this stage to keep the network decentralized in the same way that it's enough for Bitcoin to have tens of thousands of economically active nodes. If you look at the Bitcoin network, this intolerant minority is really what keeps the network resilient. So this group of Bitcoiners who hold their keys and run nodes, And then you have the next level up with Bitcoiners who hold their keys but don't necessarily run nodes. Those are mentioned. Those are probably numbered in millions, I would estimate. And then you have the next level up with people who don't run nodes and don't hold their keys. They maybe have an account on Coinbase, or maybe they own some Bitcoin ETFs or whatnot. And that's a much larger group with maybe hundreds of millions of users. And when you look at the entire kind of Bitcoin ecosystem, it actually functions quite well with this kind of order of different user types. A very similar structure is being stood up organically on Noster. And that's really glorious to observe and to participate in.
Sup, freaks. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. We've got a special event for you. An online event. Bitcoin is hitting its stride with massive ETF inflows, major geopolitical changes, increasing corporate adoption, and a proposed U.S. strategic reserve. 2025 is shaping up to be a defining year. I think it's pretty safe to say that if you've been paying attention. You probably should be. Here's a real question you need to be asking yourself. Are you ready? Is your Bitcoin house in order? If you're not sure, you're in luck. On December 10th, Unchained is hosting an essential session focused on helping you get positioned for what's ahead. You walk away with a clear path to your end of year moves, smarter strategies for bringing your family into Bitcoin, and the confidence of knowing you're set up for the long haul. Join Unchained General Counsel Jeff Vandrew and Adamant Capital founder Ter Demeester, both have been on this podcast many times, to understand what makes this moment different and the key moves you need to consider from year-end planning to bring your family into Bitcoin the right way. With the bull run gaining momentum, this is your window to get ready for what's ahead. Register at unchained.com/TFTC. Unchained.com/TFTC. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best Bitcoin hardware in the world. There is no second best when it comes to Bitcoin hardware. If you're looking to secure and self-custody your Bitcoin, you can get the MK4 or the ColdCart Q. ColdCart Q has a full keyboard, a QR scanner, NFC enabled, has a battery pack, put some AA batteries in there, create private public keys off pair in an air gap fashion. Private keys never have to touch an online device. They have their Sats card, which is the best way to give Bitcoin. If you're looking to gift Bitcoin for a wedding, a birthday party, a communion, a bar mitzvah, whatever it may be, tap the card on the back of your phone. You get a address to send to. You send it to that address. It lives on the Sats card. Again, there is no second best when it comes to Bitcoin hardware. The Bitcoin price seems to be going up. You want to take care of your security before Bitcoin goes to six figures. Make sure you get your Bitcoin off exchanges using CoinKite hardware, MK4, ColdCart Q. Go to CoinKite.com. Use the code TFTC. We have a code now, TFTC, for 5% off at checkout.
It's been incredibly fascinating to observe for the last, I think, 2 or 3 years now for me. And I think it's a testament, the fact that it's gotten to this point of approaching solving the inherent scaling problems and usability problems that exist with these emergent protocols by buying into the open source ethos of building in the open, making your software available to others to fork and to build on and to iterate on. And I think Primal is a great example of that. Everything you guys have built has been out in the open and you've given it to the Noster community. Look, we built, here's why we built it this way, so that we can have the usability, efficiency, speed that is necessary to reach feature parity with other applications and use cases and products that people are familiar with. And let's touch on that too, like just specifically on Primal, the tools that you've built, whether it's the caching system, the client, whatever it may be, and why you thought it was important to not only build it in the first place, open source it and put it out there, because you are running a company that's trying to profit. And many people would look at this and think it's a bit counterintuitive because you're giving your company's quote unquote alpha to the whole world.
Right. Yeah. So one of the early critiques of Noster was this whole kind of discoverability problem. The critique went along the lines of, well, it's since the architecture of Noster is such that clients publish directly to relays and then relays don't talk to each other. it's very hard to find anything on Noster. You need to be kind of on the, in theory, on the same relay and someone else, as someone else to find their content. And the Noster deniers were saying things like, oh, like, who's going to, you know, how are you going to solve the discoverability problem? Where in reality, what happened is people built indexers for Noster. At Primal, we built an indexer that indexes the entire Noster network. And in Primal 2.0, we shipped a very powerful advanced search capability to our premium users, which I can say with a straight face that this is the most powerful search on any social media network anywhere. And you can really search by all kinds of different criteria. You can create feeds based on those criteria. You can save searches, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're showing is that it's quite the opposite of what kind of the initial misconception was. Not only is it that it's not the case that Noster has a discoverability problem. In fact, Noster is the discoverability layer for all kinds of different content that's already published on relays and will continue to get published in greater numbers. And as you mentioned, we kind of, as a philosophical stance, as a company building on an open protocol like Noster, decided that that everything that we build, the entire stack, and we build client applications, as well as kind of backend logic and services. The entire Primal stack is open sourced under the MIT license, which means that anyone can take our code without any restrictions, fork it, run it themselves, make any changes they wish. They can do it for personal or commercial uses. They can build products on top of it, et cetera, et cetera. We think this is the correct way to build on an open protocol. And we are monetizing by running services for our users. This includes the caching services and creation of custom feeds, indexing services, media hosting services. We have a hosted wallet as well. So this kind of integrated package that we deliver as a part of a Primal Premium, we are, hoping that the users will find that valuable enough to pay the monthly fee for the premium service. So this is the model we're going with.
I think having used Primal 2.0 for the last few weeks, access to the beta, playing around with it the last few days, as a user, the service is such a step function improvement in terms of like usability, speed. Search is a big thing. That's one thing that I would credit with getting on X, like it actually made me able to use X as a quote unquote power user, was the ability to search. And searching X is not easy. You have to know like the functions to put in, and you have to recall from memory certain words that were mentioned in certain tweets that you're looking for. And as a power user of an app like Primal, search is a massive function that I need to actually be able to use it and want to come back, and being able to find stuff is very important. Let's dig into like search. You mentioned you can save searches. Like, how important is indexing for taking Noster to the next level and making it easier for people who may have been a bit afraid to use the protocol a couple of years ago when everything was a bit jankier? Like, what do you think the updates that you've made in Primal 2.0, particularly around search and custom feeds, does for usability for the layman who is not a protocol engineer willing to roll up their sleeves and do the hard work and of understanding exactly how this distributed network in Noster actually works and how to sort of hack the ways of finding the data and the events that you're looking for?
I think that's a good point. I think we need to appreciate the trajectory of improvement of various Noster apps that exist out there. Primal is one of, just one of many Noster apps. If you kind of rewind the tape a little bit, a couple of years ago, Noster was basically unusable. There were already you know, a couple dozen apps maybe, but it was very, very hard to use. A year prior to that, you had to be a developer to participate on the Noster network. So there, at that point, maybe there were maybe a couple dozen users on the network. The rate of improvement has been quite rapid. You can see that, all of the Noster applications already, let's say a year ago, were starting to be quite usable. And then fast forward to today, I think we're getting to the point where we're starting to reach and in some areas even surpass the legacy kind of counterparts. And this is crazy considering that this is only like a very short amount of time. We're competing with companies that have seemingly unlimited budgets. You know, they have had maybe a decade of development work behind them and billions of dollars of budgets to get to where they are today. Primal and some other Noster applications are in some ways have reached and in a few ways have surpassed the capabilities of these kind of legacy counterparts. So there's still a lot of work to do, but it's kind of what should be appreciated here is the trajectory, the rate of improvement, which is undeniable. And for those out there who maybe tried Noster a year ago or even 6 months ago, you should try it again. Maybe you'll see that, like, you'll see a marked improvement. Regarding your question about search, in one of my conversations with Jack Dorsey a little while ago, he pointed out the fact that Twitter really started kind of hitting its stride after they were able to implement powerful search. So he underscored this as one of the kind of core fundamental features that are required for a network like this to grow. So we leaned into this. We put quite a bit of effort into indexing. We re-implemented the entire kind of caching and indexing stack for Primal 2.0. And we offer, now we, like 10 days ago or so, we shipped 2.0 with crazy advanced features, search features. So you can search by content type. So you can search by, short form, media, text, journal notes, the microblogging notes. You can search for long form notes, which is probably one of the most promising parts of Noster. We can talk about that later. Search videos, images, sound, etc. And for each one of these, you can set a number of parameters. You can say, give me horizontal videos that are longer than 10 minutes in that are longer than 10 minutes that have been zapped by Marty, and you'll get your feed. So then you can say search by, you can keep expanding your search. You can set the list of users who potentially posted this content. You can search, set the list of users who replied to it, users who zapped it. You can specify the slice of the network that you wish to be searched. By default, it's global, so it's just going to search everything. But you can say search only within my follows. So only the subset of the network of the that's posted by accounts by that I follow. Or you can search by my follows interactions, which is an interesting slice of the network, where you can say, search all content that people I follow have interacted with in any way. So just by specifying that slice of the network in the dropdown, you're kind of expanding your horizons a little bit more. So, you know, you might follow a certain people, but if you search by content that they interacted with, it's still high signal content for you. It's likely to be high signal, but it's much you're casting a much wider net.
Yeah, and I think this is, again, going back to the fact that I consider myself a power user because I know how to use search on all these different platforms, but on this protocol, particularly what you've done with Primal, like that is one thing, like I actually did not like this when Elon decided to make likes private, and that was actually one of my ways in which I would try to find good content, and if I would go to accounts that I respected and liked, I would go to their likes and say, hey, what is this person looking at today? That's been taken away there. But even so, that experience of getting to that content that I was looking for was very manual. I had to go to the profile, go to the tab where it was like, this person's like these tweets, and then you scroll. Being able to do this granularly is a step function improvement, again, on this particular use case within the realm of searching for content on the internet.
I agree. And we put a lot of work into the UI for this so that it's not overburdened. You have all of these options, but if you don't set any of them, the defaults kind of make sense. So in just a few clicks, you can create quite a sophisticated search, which essentially ends up being a feed. And then if you like this feed, if you find this kind of search to be useful, you can save it, and it saves it to your list of home feeds. And that this kind of leads to the whole feed marketplace conversation, which I'm excited to have.
Yeah, I mean, now my mind's going crazy, because that's what we have a social media guy focused predominantly on X. We're waiting for the ability to share account private keys so I can get him into the TFTC account. But that is part of his job, is literally looking for videos, either being first to find a video that you clip and then post, or searching Twitter for videos that are pertinent to the themes that we're following and trying to highlight at TFTC and posting them, and just speaking with him, like, what is your day to day like? What is the process? And it's very manual. And so, like, the fact that on Noster you could easily be like, all right, I want to follow these people. If they post a video longer than 30 seconds, put it in this feed. And instead of going to search, you just have it in the feed. And it's much easier to surface that content. Like you said, each of those could be an individual feed that you could follow, but this gets into the broader conversation around the algorithms and the feeds that exist in incumbent social media platforms and how that is now changing with Noster. You mentioned doom scrolling earlier. I mentioned it. I was doom scrolling. That is one of the biggest points of contention with the incumbent social media platforms, is the fact that they own the algorithm. They're the ones feeding you the information and the content that you consume, especially if you're on the For You tab. But even if you're not, they've found ways to surface content to you. And as you mentioned, whether like the model is such is to get eyes, engagement, attention, and they know how to hack that. I mean, Chamath Palihapitiya was worked at Facebook. He said this very openly in the past, that they literally have data scientists and psychologists who study what gets the most engagement and literally craft algorithms to trigger you to engage. And a lot of the time they're using what many would deem to be negative psychological triggers to drive that engagement. Now Noster provides the opportunity to create a different type of algorithmic experience in terms of how you're interacting with content that's being populated for you.
Right. So there are two kind of big problems here with the legacy social media. The first one is that they're not working for you. Their interests are not aligned with yours. And, that's why they're incentivized, in order to maximize their own profits, they're incentivized to do crazy things that make you upset, that make you addicted, and so forth. And they build their feed this way. I say feed, singular, not plural, because the second problem is you don't have any choice. You typically, in these platforms, you get the feed for you. And then maybe on Twitter, you get like your follows, like you said, and the single kind of alternative to that, which is For You. But essentially, there's no user agency here. That's what's missing here. The user is being farmed as a product. On Noster, we're fixing that. It's not so much that we don't want to use algorithms on Noster. We do. We just want to use algorithms that work for us. We want to use algorithms that work for users. And since Noster is an open network, anyone can build an algorithm. So this whole kind of story of how the Noster feed marketplace came to be is quite fascinating and very illustrative of how things like this emerged on an open network. So maybe a year and a half ago, one of the most prolific Noster devs, Pablo, came up with this spec for DVMs or data vending machines on Noster, where you can use the Noster public relay infrastructure to request some jobs, any generic kind of computational job to be executed, and then you get the results, and there could be an optional payment associated with that. So the spec itself is quite versatile. It's quite powerful. It could be used for all kinds of things. So one of the types of things that it can be used for is just to create a custom feed. And when you create a custom feed based on this DVM spec, you publish a Noster event stating, I've created this feed, this is how you can access it. So this was invented, let's say, a year and a half ago. And a few of us kind of understood it and really, saw the potential early on. But on an open network, you know, people have different priorities. These types of things are not centrally planned. They evolve organically. So a few DVMs were created, and then, you know, not a lot happened in the next few months. But then it kind of picked up from there, where a few developers created a few DVM-based feeds, and then some client developers noticed those feeds and decided to integrate the ability to access these feeds into their clients. I think most notable examples of that are the Coracle web client or NoStrudel web client, or also Amethyst on Android. And back a few months ago, we noticed that at Primal, and we were delighted. We were like, okay, this is actually happening. This kind of feed marketplace is emerging naturally on Noster. This is exactly what we want to participate in. Let's lean in all the way. And for Primal, leaning in all the way meant basically three things. Number one, we re-architected the user interface of all of our applications, so iOS, Android, web, to be able to manage an infinite number of feeds. So when you're in the home tab, this is where we list kind of your social media feeds, you can swipe left, right, and kind of swipe through any number of feeds. And you can tap at the top kind of where the feed title is to get the feed picker. And from there, you can access the feed marketplace. So we let you browse all of the feeds that have been published on Noster. You can preview the content of the feed. And if you like what you see, you can add it to your list of feeds. And then you can reorder the feeds that you wish to use on the home tab in the way that it suits you. And you can put some sort of custom feed to be your main feed. When you open Primal, that's what you want to see. So there's this capability that in Primal, by default, you could be viewing non-Primal feeds right there in the UI. So we've done this throughout the entire app. So the same kind of concept applies to long-form reads, feeds, and so forth. So integrating this kind of feed marketplace into the UI of the product was also part of it. And then the third thing that we did was, since at Primal we build client applications, but we also build and run services for Noster, we decided that every feed that we create for Primal will also publish in the Noster feed marketplace, so that other Noster clients who support this DVM-based feed marketplace are able to access those feeds. So we've done that already. And with the 2.0 release, we've published all of our feeds to the feed marketplace. So now we have some users who are not even using the Primal client, who might be using Amethyst or NoStrudel or Coracle or some other clients that I have them not even aware of, who are actually using Primal backend kind of functionality through their clients. So it's pretty wild to see how things like this evolve on a dramatically open network like Noster.
This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Zaprite.
if you're a Bitcoiner and run a business or an independent contractor, you should be accepting Bitcoin as payment. If not you, then who? If we believe that fiat is systemically fragile and is a risk, the rails that that currency runs on are a risk as well. You need to begin accepting Bitcoin as soon as possible. Invest in the future of your business. Create a redundant rail by accepting Bitcoin as payment using ZapRite and reduce risk for your business. I've done this for my business. Here at TFTC, we use ZapRite. It allows you to easily create invoices, payment links, or connect e-commerce stores, connect your wallets or custodial accounts, and be set up in minutes. We can also connect our bank accounts, our Stripe accounts, or Square accounts to accept fiat as well. The time is now, freaks. The fiat system is fragile. Invest in the infrastructure that de-risks the future. Invest in yourself. Bitcoin payments with ZapRite. Go to ZapRite.com/TFTC to get $40 off their annual subscription. ZapRite.com/TFTC. $40 off. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Salt of the Earth. You got to be hydrating, freaks. And while you're hydrating, you got to be getting your electrolytes. This is the best electrolytes mix that I've ever come into contact with. Pink Himalayan salt with calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium, no sugar. It tastes incredible. My favorite is the orange and the pink lemonade. Go to drinksote.com. That's drinksote.com. Use the code TFTC when you make your purchase and you'll get 15% off. I'm telling you, get on it, freaks. You're going to love this stuff.
We were talking about this the other week, too, because one of the big topics, particularly here in the U.S., it's been talked about, many people have mentioned it on the Joe Rogan podcast, specifically in the last couple of weeks. Mark Andreessen, Mike Benz was on, and they've highlighted this acquisition of Twitter and transition to X by Elon Musk as this sort of savior to free speech, particularly in the United States, but many would argue even further than the borders of this country. And we were talking about there's credit to be given there. Obviously, I think it's obvious that what's happening on X, what's happened on X over the last year has been a net positive, I believe, for discourse. But there are still landmines that Elon and company could run into, not only from a censorship perspective, but from user experience. And that's the one thing that excites me about this feed marketplace, is that it is truly creating a more granular, the ability for individual users to create a more granular experience to filter things for their exact use case. Like, I am an autist when it comes to filtering the information on these social media feeds. Like, I have my Bitcoin feed, my economics feed, oil and gas, Barstool Sports, whatever it may be. Like, I need that delineation between the different subjects and themes that I'm following, and it's a bit limited on X. But it's like two part, like, is what is happening on X and all this focus on X actually good for Noster in the long run, because it gives it some breathing room? Like, it actually sort of reminds me of Bitcoin's experience with WikiLeaks when Satoshi was still around, and people were saying when WikiLeaks got cut off from PayPal and other payment providers, many on the Bitcoin Talk forum were like, hey, we should go to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And Satoshi famously said, let's not kick the hornet's nest. We're not ready for it yet. Like, do you, not that there's a hornet's nest that's getting kicked by the Noster protocol and the development community around it right now, but like, is this sort of focus on X as this new bastion of free speech, this platform of free speech, actually beneficial for Noster in the long run, because you're able to put your head down and focus and have the confidence that years from now the protocol will be extremely robust, anti-fragile, efficient, and the features will be so rich that you'll be able to pop your head up and be like, oh, it's just simply a better product?
I think that's a fair comparison. And I think the moment that you outlined there with the WikiLeaks, do you remember the year? Was it 2012 or something like that?
Satoshi was still around, so it was 2011, 2012, somewhere 20, around there.
20, yes. So we might be at a similar stage in Noster's development as Bitcoin was in 2011, 2012. That's a fair comparison. And I think the protocol itself is robust, but the infrastructure that's been stood up on top of this protocol is still in its early days. So it's like a fair comparison. And I would say, of course, given the trajectory of development of this whole ecosystem, there's a lot to be kind of optimistic about. But just like going back and, for anyone out there who thinks, oh, problem solved, Elon is going to give everyone free speech. Of course, like if you really think this through, that nothing is really solved, right? The world needs a global open town square. The question is, who should be in control of it? And the correct answer is no one should have that power, right? And currently, we have one company or a handful of companies that can be leaned on by many powerful actors. And we've seen that what happened, let's say, in Brazil recently, where if you have the power to decide who can speak, you will be made to use that power, even if it's against your will. And even someone as sort of pro-free speech and a powerful actor like Elon had to kind of bend the knee in the end. So the correct answer here is that we need an open protocol that's not in control by anyone. That gives every user of the protocol the sovereignty and the agency to use the protocol in the way they wish. For when it comes to money, that protocol is Bitcoin. When it comes to speech and internet content and publishing, in my view, that protocol is Nostr.
Well, perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about next is the intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin, this open source monetary protocol, open source communications protocol, and there's layers to it too. Is you have the intersection. Obviously, Zaps exist. It's creating. It's arguably one of the only true Bitcoin circular economies that exist in the world. I posted a note right before we went live. I'm not sure, you probably didn't see it yet. It happened right before you hopped on here, but Jerome Powell was getting interviewed by Andrew Ross Sorkin at some event, I believe in New York earlier today, and he was asked about Bitcoin. It seems like he's in the bargaining stage of grief where he's like, yeah, Bitcoin, it's like gold. People are going to use it as a speculative asset, but that's all it is right now. And my note was essentially like, Jerome Powell, people like him, who are trotting out this trope that Bitcoin is simply this speculative asset, can say that, but the corpus of data that points in the other direction is overwhelming, and it's only getting larger each day. Millions of people are using Bitcoin as their savings technology, and millions of people are also using it as a payments network. And Nostr is proof pudding of this. It is a Bitcoin circular economy. And it's funny, right before we hit record, I saw somebody reply to that, a bit of a troll, like, it's not a circular economy. I'm sorry. It's still a speculative asset. And I haven't been able to reply to him, but using Primal, my Primal wallet, like I believe I bought $5 worth of Bitcoin just to test out the Apple Pay use case when we guys first launched that feature. But since then, I have not added a single Satoshi to my Primal wallet. It's all been via Zaps. And then I have the ability to zap people from that wallet. And for me, I'm just N of one. There's N of thousands, hundreds of thousands at this point that are proof that it is a circular economy. Like, I literally, with my Primal wallet, have amassed a balance and distributed a lot of that balance within the Nostr protocol solely. And sometimes I actually, and outside the Nostr protocol, I've been at Bitcoin Park having to pay for coffee or a drink at the BTC Pay terminal and use my Nostr wallet to pay. So that is truly circular. I didn't buy that Bitcoin. I didn't send it from another wallet. It was all from the accumulation of Zaps that I've gotten over the years.
Yeah, it's wild. And what a great combination, these two protocols. You know, they each of them stands on its own. Obviously, Bitcoin doesn't need Nostr to succeed or survive. Nostr functions without Bitcoin as well, but they're very symbiotic in the sense that each makes the other one better. So obviously, Nostr gets a lot of benefits from having the monetary network, kind of a global permissionless monetary network built right into the protocol as an extension of the protocol. So we get this ability to monetize content to signal on the Nostr network regarding what content we find valuable or interesting. So it's very, very valuable. And then Bitcoin, actually, what's less understood maybe by Bitcoiners out there is how Nostr helps Bitcoin. So as you mentioned, this is the first time that we've seen some sort of like a global circular economy kind of get bootstrapped at scale. And it's happening on the Nostr network. There are so many thousands of zaps are flying around every day. You have people who, like you said, who post something interesting on Nostr or simply shit post on Nostr, get a bunch of zaps, and they're able to get a coffee or a meal with that. It completely blows people's minds when they do this, especially new users, actually, those who aren't Bitcoiners, those who didn't get into Nostr through Bitcoin. There's like a subset of Nostriges that were not at all exposed to Bitcoin previously. So when they post something and they get money and they're able to buy something with it, their minds explode. I don't know if you heard the story that Jack Mahler's told on stage. He was on stage with me.
Bailey. Liga.
Yes.
Yeah.
So his best friend's girlfriend got basically orange pilled through Nostr, even though he was trying to orange pill her for years. So you can imagine how resilient that person is for withstanding those kind of orange pilling attempts by Jack Mahler's. But anyway, she wasn't interested in, you know, fighting, like defending from inflation or, you know, self-sovereignty or any of those things that we Bitcoiners care about. But when she downloaded Primal and posted something personal online, she got a bunch of zaps from people, and it just clicked for her. Her brain exploded. Everything clicked for her. She was like, okay, I get it all. And then from that point on, she actually went down the Bitcoin rabbit hole and read the Bitcoin standard and kind of became a full-on Bitcoiner. So I think Nostr will end up onboarding. This is kind of my bold prediction. Nostr will end up onboarding more people into Bitcoin than all other methods combined. Because people will get onboarded through Bitcoin by using their kind of everyday applications, like social media applications, video streaming applications. I think every application will be Bitcoin enabled, because we'll make sure that those that are not Bitcoin enabled are essentially inferior to the ones that are. And again, you can see the Bitcoin game theory playing out there through Nostr, and I think it's going to be glorious to see. And this is how we onboard billions of people, I think, onto Bitcoin.
Yeah, and it, even though the UIs of some of these clients are a bit clunky and don't have feature parity with the incumbent applications, I'm thinking of Zap.Stream. Like Zap.Stream, we've been live streaming to YouTube, and the whole process, we've been live streaming to YouTube for years now, since COVID. So for 4 years, more than 4 years, almost five. And we've never enabled super chats because like the clunkiness of enabling it, hooking up a bank account, and then like asking the live chat to send us fiat from their accounts that are connected to YouTube, like the friction involved with that use case was simply too much, and it just felt a little too weird. But with Zap.Stream, we live stream to the Nostr network now as well, and the Rabbit Hole Recap account has an LN address associated with it, and people can hop in the live stream on Zap.Stream and zap us. And the amount of, we've been doing podcasting 2.0 for years, and I think the average amount that we're getting zapped on the live stream is beginning to surpass the boost that we get from people listening to the podcast on apps like Fountain, which is now a Nostr client as well, which is even crazier to think. And it is a superior way to do this. And like, what do you think of Matt and I, we own Rabbit Hole Recap 50-50. The ease of use of having the Rabbit Hole Recap LN address, it's very transparent. I can see how many zaps have come in per stream, and my LN address is in my Primal account, and
when the episode's over and all the zaps are accounted for, Matt simply just does the split and it's there. There's nothing. I don't have to give him a bank account. I don't have to give him a cash tag. There's no interaction on my part. He just gets my address from my Primal feed and boom, sends it. That is a far superior user experience, particularly on the content creation side for something like a super chat or anything else, particularly for a show with multiple hosts that share the revenue. It's automatic.
How about that? And you no longer need to squint to see where all of this is going. So in just your little recap there, you mentioned ZapStream, which is, let's say, a YouTube competitor. Like when it comes to live streaming, it is in any case. You mentioned Fountain, which is a podcasting app. You mentioned Primal. So imagine, like, you no longer need to squint to see what it would look like when, let's say, Twitter, Facebook, Spotify, YouTube, et cetera, where all of these were on the same network, interoperable, kind of working with the same set of identities. You kind of log in using your Noster identity in any of those. You see all your connections there, and you kind of monetize your content, and you participate in the local economy using Bitcoin in all of these apps. So we're already there where we see some of this is functional. And given the trajectory of improvement, this all becomes awesome over the next 1 or 2 years, which again attracts more content creators, which again attracts more users. And then this kind of the amount of gravity to the network increases with every passing day. It's hard not to be bullish about this. And I'm totally convinced that Noster takes over everything.
Yeah, and I think to lean into that example, particularly Fountain and Primal and how they interact. For years, Fountain announced at Nostrigo that they officially transitioned to a Noster client. And it's been fascinating to see since then. For years, we've been using Fountain to read the boost from the episodes of Rabbit Hole Recap, which is involved in Podcasting 2.0. We have a Lightning pub key in our RSS feed and people can boost there, and they can still do that even over Noster. But historically, up until the beginning of this year, or excuse me, the beginning of this fall, until earlier, like 3 or 4 months ago, people had to boost from the Podcasting 2.0 apps. And that's how we would see the top four boosts that we'd read each week. But now most people are like, I see the boost for the Rabbit Hole Recap, particularly if I get tagged in it, in my Primal notifications. And then I go to Fountain to read the top four boosts and it's there as well. So like that, and two clients showing the same content produced by the individual boosting us. Like the interoperability, I don't think is appreciated by outsiders yet.
It's all the same network, and it's all the lines are blurring. And again, we can have many examples. We already today have many examples of this, and this only gets better over time. So Substack versus Twitter is another example of this, where it's like it's appropriate to say Substack versus Twitter because they are kind of competitors. Elon famously blocked linking to Substack from Twitter, right? And that was disastrous for Substack because Twitter feeds were their top of funnel. That was the discovery layer for their content. So contrast that with Noster, where you have these social media microblogging feeds that exist on the same network as the long form textual content. And when you interact with the content, you can see it in any client that supports that content type. So Primal with 2.0, we've added this ability to browse and interact with long form textual content using the top level reads tab. So when you browse articles on Primal and you go ahead and let's say highlight something within an article, that highlight, that user action, the artifact that gets created by that highlight doesn't exist within Primal only. It gets published to the Nostr network and it becomes available to everyone. So contrast that with what happens on, let's say, Medium. Medium, probably decades ago, they've been around for a long time, introduced the highlight feature. But when you highlight something on Medium, that artifact stays within their silo. It's not available anywhere else. And even though they have the capability to kind of deliver some sort of collaboration around that artifact, you can comment on a highlight and so forth, there isn't a lot of traffic there. You don't see kind of lively comments around highlights that much on Medium, as far as I can tell. Whereas this is extremely lively on Nostr. Where, you know, you highlight something and then you can select that highlight, do some comments. And then when you browse this later on, you can see that many users are interacting with this and probably from a bunch of different clients. And then client developers get to decide how they want to put all of this diverse set of kind of artifact types that exist on Nostr. You can put them together in completely new ways and offer new experiences that were not possible before, just because you have access to all of this on an open network. And there's nowhere there to stop you. It's sort of the level of experimentation, even though we're just like, our budgets as Nostr devs are like orders of magnitude smaller than these big companies. Paradoxically, we can experiment way more. We can try a bunch of different things, way more than any big company can afford to experiment, and we play with this type of stuff out in the public. We launch it, we see what sticks, we lean into the stuff that works, we throw away the stuff that doesn't. Every good idea gets replicated, etc., etc. So this is how Nostr. This is why Nostr is becoming so much better on a relatively short timeline.
What is the one or couple or few of the things on the horizon that you are particularly excited for, whether that's for Primal specifically or Nostr more generally?
So kind of just as a theme, I would say that everything needs to be implemented on top of Nostr. So everything that you see on an open web currently, every web application out there, every web service, everything will get implemented over Nostr. And rather than kind of zeroing in on a specific use case, I think this kind of the openness of the network and the proliferation of use cases and artifact types as a whole is what's exciting to me. This is why I think Nostr wins more so than, let's say, the fundamental features like censorship resistance and user sovereignty and all of those. I think most people out there don't really care that much about those aspects. We do, we Nostr developers, we care about it. Bitcoiners care about this, but we're in a minority. The majority of the people out there care about high quality apps and good quality content. And I think we will get both of those things due to the openness of the network, and will be vastly superior in both of these categories. The apps will be much richer and more sophisticated, and the content will be more diverse and probably of higher quality because of the different feed algorithms and curation methods and so forth. So basically, in a nutshell, I would say openness of the protocol is the killer feature, and the sum of all of these parts is going to be insane.
I had a oh shit moment last night scrolling through my Primal feed, and I think this is the culmination of what Alex Gleason and Rob Rabble have been working on. Particularly, I think Alex specifically has been working to bridge content from the Fediverse of Mastodon to Nostr. And last night I was scrolling down the feed and I saw Matt Blaze on the feed, and I was like, he hasn't been on Twitter in a while. I didn't know he was on Nostr, and Rabble retweeted him, and I was like, oh, this is coming from the Fediverse. It was like the first note
from Matt Blaze I've seen in years. I don't think he's been on Twitter. And it was about, encryption and the fact that governments are like, oh, you should probably use this. And he was joking about it. But that was like, oh, that was, I believe if I was reading the source of the content correctly, that he was posting that on the Fediverse, but due to the bridge that Alex Gleason has built, it was showing up on Nostr as well. And I was like, oh, wow. You don't even need people to adopt Nostr to get that content now.
That's true. Alex is doing great work there. He's bringing in a bunch of content from these kind of adjacent networks. For me, I find that less exciting than Nostr native content because of all of these types of things that we talked about. You know, you can you participate in the zapping economy. If you truly build a Nostr application, that application is creating Nostr events natively that other developers can use and so forth. And I think the game theory of Nostr is such that this will happen over time. But in the meantime, for sure, it's fun to see other kind of content being brought in because that's doable and people are doing that work. So might as well bring that content in.
Well, maybe it's a catalyst too, because that's the other thing that many people on Nostr have talked about. And I don't think most people realize is that all these incumbent platforms could adopt Nostr backend infrastructure, keep the same UI or a similar UI and simply just port their backend with the Nostr protocol. And I could see that particularly for the Fediverse being like, oh, like all these people on Nostr liking this content, like weighing the decision. Do we just keep it siloed to the Fediverse and, or do we adopt the Nostr protocol? Is it better?
I can see it happening in the Fediverse because it's a more diverse kind of set of players there. Some of them will realize that this is in their best interest and this will happen. When it comes to the big legacy players, I think they will be the last ones to adopt Nostr. It's just there. They are jealously guarding their walled gardens and they're doing it in a way where kind of the walls are getting taller. It's harder to get in without being logged in and so forth. They see that as their competitive advantage. And I think they're correct in the short run, but they are wrong in the long run. And an open network like Nostr is ultimately going to eat their lunch, but it's going to be too late. I think we've seen this happen time and again. You know, the Kodak moment with digital cameras, et cetera, et cetera. I think the same thing will happen with the legacy social media networks.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It is exciting to be around. Actually, maybe this is probably something we should touch on because it feels like certainly up until this point in time, there's been waves of hype around not only hype, but adoption. It's sort of like Bitcoin adoption where like you have like something like Nostriga. Everybody was excited. The activity on the network and the growth of the network during that conference was massive. And then you have these troughs. I don't want to say of disillusionment, but of lack of hype for lack of a better term. And then I'm sure we'll have another wave in the future. As somebody building on the protocol, building a company on the protocol, mentally, how do you stomach those waves, or how do you think through them? What's the psychology that goes into weathering the storm and continuously building? And basically, I think the mindset of a lot of Nostr is if you build it, they will come. It's having that confidence and that belief that that's going to be true in the long run.
Yeah, I think it's similar to Bitcoin waves of adoption. We've had like prior to Riga earlier this year, we had like a mini Nostr bear market. It was adorable. Yeah, some people were thinking, oh, Nostr is over, you know. And then we had this like massive kind of wave of growth of new users. And then I think it's reasonable to expect that Nostr will continue to grow in waves like this. And I think, there will be different catalysts that initiate the different waves. So as a Noster developer, I think our job is just to make sure that to keep improving, to keep making sure that the product we ship is more sophisticated every time, so that users, you know, with every subsequent touch point, you get surprised by how much more versatile the whole platform is and the network itself. I think it's fair to say that the current cohort of users on Noster are very kind of Bitcoin centric. And if you were to bootstrap kind of a censorship resistant self-sovereign content network like this, this is exactly what it would look like, I think. Bitcoiners are exactly the right type of people to a bootstrap network like this, because we understand the value of true decentralization. We have the culture of, for example, running nodes, of holding our keys, etc., etc. And there are direct parallels to Noster relays and kind of Noster key pair identities and so forth. So you would expect that a network like this would be seeded by Bitcoiners. And for the network to truly be resilient, it needs to be kind of seeded by this intolerant minority of the guys who are not ride or dies, who are not going away, regardless of what happens, and who are willing to kind of respond to any attacks to the network. So I think we're kind of past this initial stage. We have something here already. And I think since Noster is not centrally controlled, there's no central planning, there's no roadmap of how we're going to, how this is going to evolve, or how the network is going to be grown. It's actually all of the participants of the network that kind of play their role. So you have, of course, the user base. You have a number of projects that are building on Noster. Every project can decide how to grow their own user base, and in doing so, they grow the network itself. For me personally, it makes sense to lean into the Bitcoiner group even more, and to get to ensure that we have even more high quality and high signal Bitcoin content there. I think long form content like essays and blogs and so forth are quite important there. I think we've seen, I don't know if you would agree, Marty, since we launched Primal 2.0, I think there's quite a bit more traffic in that long form kind of area of Noster. Would you
agree? There is. I was on it earlier today, and I noticed, I don't know if it was officially from the Bitcoin Policy Institute, but like a really good article by the Bitcoin Policy Institute. It was like the top article for me.
Yeah, yeah. And articles that do get published get a lot more traction. They get a lot more zaps, comments, highlights, things like that. So things are kind of expanding there. I really like, I'm bullish on this long form, textual long form content, because unlike the social media content where really the network is the feature, the network is useless unless everyone's there. When it comes to long form content, that's not the case, because the moment that one interesting author shows up there and starts publishing content there, there's reason to go there. Your question regarding how the network will grow, and I think it makes sense to kind of cater features and content to Bitcoiners and then Bitcoin adjacent communities, like financial Twitter, let's say, or health and fitness, or I don't know, philosophy, economics, etc., where we have people who are kind of active both in Bitcoin and these other fields who can bring their audiences over, for example.
Yeah. Like, yes. I'm looking at my most recent bent that I posted to Noster, and just like going through the highlights, it's like really cool to see what people are getting value out of in each individual article. Like the recent one I wrote on Bitcoin as the apex predator of treasury assets. There's like one section that was highlighted by two people. So it's like, oh, maybe I should lean into this topic, maybe write about that in the future. And it is, from a UX perspective too, like I told you this when you first gave me access to the long reads beta on Primal. It's just like the way the content pops open, how fast it is, and like the ability to highlight and note and see the comments and the zaps. It's far superior to Twitter articles, which I don't even bother using because it's just such a clunky experience. And that's perfect example of interoperability. Like I go to Obla.news, I post along, I use their publisher to post the long form content. I post it and then I open up Primal. It's there already in long reads. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those examples where kind of putting these different content types together in a meaningful way enables us to build experiences that are surpassing the UX level of the incumbents. Like that's a great example. I think if we look at Twitter, Substack, Medium, if we compare, let's say, the UX you get on Primal when it comes to both browsing and reading through the long form content, as well as discovery capabilities within your kind of social media feeds, where you can highlight something and post a comment to your regular feed, and then the feed renders the comment, the highlight, and the link to the article. I'm obviously super biased here, but I think we've surpassed the level of UX that any of these big companies have when it comes to that particular segment.
Yeah. And again, it's been built. They will come. Do you view Primal, particularly Primal 2.0, as a major catalyst for the they will come moment? Is that, because I know I'm not going to ask a leading question because we've talked about this many times. Like your intention has been to make it so that anybody can go into their app store, download Primal, be on Noster, and have a user experience that blows them away.
Yes, actually, I do view Primal 2.0 as that catalyst, especially when it comes to long-form textual content. Because we wanted to get to the point where content creators, many of whom are actual fans of Noster and all of the ideals that Noster stands for, we want to make sure that content creators can invite their audience over to Noster with a straight face and say, download this app and you'll be able to access my content and it will be a great experience. So a year ago, that wasn't the case. Many clients were not, or probably no client was quite there yet on Noster. But now with Primal and others, we are getting there. So I think this is like an important milestone.
Yeah. I'm pumped for you. That's the... And it's so close. Like you said, you can squint. It's there from the publisher side, the content creator side. Zap.stream, completely easy. You just put the RMTP token into Restream, hit push, boom. We're publishing there. On the long form written side, this is not to Primal. This is anybody out there building the publishers. If somebody did this for themes on Ghost, somebody just fork Ghost publisher and make it so I can easily embed videos, links, tweets, whatever it may be, notes. Notes are already easily embeddable, but like other content that I put in the newsletter, that like when it, for Obla and Highlighter, it's like, yeah, it's back to, you're going back to MySpace days where you have to do all the HTML and CSS to actually embed a lot of this stuff.
I think people are going to be very pleasantly surprised by Highlighter. I'm kind of very bullish on Highlighter as a content creator tool that's being built by Pablo.
Let's go, Pablo.
So yeah, let's go. And again, you know, all you need to do is just like take a snapshot. Look at where all of Noster was a year ago. Look at where we're at today. And now we're kind of near approaching the end of 2024. And project that out, you know, even 1 year out. And I would say now we have the momentum as well. So we just continue cracking this stuff out. I think this gets wild.
Yeah. How fast are we approaching the suddenly moment? Like what... Prediction.
I think the
prediction for 2025. Moment. Prediction for 2025. Uh-huh. What is your Noster Primal
make
prediction?
Do this. Okay.
Yes, I am. And then you got to give a Bitcoin price prediction. I'm kidding.
Interestingly, on Noster, actually, there isn't that much banter about price. People discuss different topics, lots of Bitcoiners, but it's nowhere near as pumpy as Bitcoin Twitter is. Am I wrong? Like, is that your impression too? The content seems more authentic and more, there's more signal to it than just like, oh, we're going to pump or whatnot. Would you say
I would agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. It's mainly focused, from my observation, on how to push adoption forward without a focus on price and like the integration of technology. I mean, the biggest Bitcoin chatter on Nostr these days is like the intersection of eCash and Nostr, at least that I'm following, which I think is massive as well.
Exactly. So that's like high signal. It's extremely highly relevant type of topics for long-term Bitcoin adoption, as opposed to is price going to pump today or not. But to not completely evade your question, you wanted a prediction for 2025. Okay, I'll make one. I think we do get a suddenly moment at one point in 2025 for Nostr. That's my only prediction.
Any inclination on what the catalyst will be?
I think it will be one or more big content creators deciding to kind of lean into Nostr, or just deciding to show up on Nostr. That's enough.
Yeah.
And kind of encourage their audience to follow along. Yeah.
William, this has been great. If you're listening, disclaimer, 1031 is an investor in Primal, but we invested for a reason. It's because it's the best client on Nostr. It's my go-to. It's getting better. If you're out there, you're Nostr curious, and you haven't set up a Nostr private-public key pair yet, go to your app store, search Primal, download it, test it out, get in the game. It's time. You want to get in before. It would be cool to be in before the suddenly moment. After the suddenly moment, it's, oh yeah, no duh, you're on Nostr. You want to be able to say, I was in and using Nostr and on Primal before the suddenly moment. That's what I'll
absolutely
call. You want to be a Primal legend.
You do. On Primal, on every profile page, we kind of list the date when that account joined Nostr. And we know that by a single publish action. So let's say if you create your Nostr account, all you need to do is just like trigger one like. You don't even need to post anything, but the moment you create a Nostr event, a Nostr action, that's the date that's marked as your kind of joined Nostr at such and such date and time. So if you haven't done that yet, go for it, definitely. And when it comes to Primal Premium, actually, you mentioned Primal Legends. When it comes to Primal Premium, we also mark different kind of groups of users who subscribe to Primal Premium, and those who subscribe in 2024 are marked as Primal OGs because they will, they'll be among the first kind of 1 month of users that signed up for our service. So we want to recognize them.
We got 25 days for you. So I'm trying to see, where can I see when I joined Nostr and Primal?
Well, let me look it up for you. So I don't know if we list it on the mobile apps, but we do it on the web app. So let me look it up for you.
I can pull that up now.
July 26, 22. Wow, 22. You're 5 months ahead of me, Marty.
I was on Nostr before you?
Oh, yeah, totally. I hadn't even discovered Nostr when you already had your account. Look at this. Oh, that's great. I joined on Christmas Day 2022.
What a great Christmas present.
I know. Yeah, I looked at it later. I was like, oh, interesting. I guess you know what I was up to on Christmas Day.
I'm excited. This is very optimistic. And I think it's important, especially juxtaposed to the fervor around X, which I think is warranted to a certain degree, free speech back. Like, great. However, you don't want central planners or central points of failure, I think, more accurately describes the problems that exist in incumbent platforms. You want an uncontrollable protocol. That is what everybody is building over at Nostr. And whether you realize it now or later, that is most likely what's going to win out in the day, because as we know, things may seem rosy now, but power does change hands, and who knows, maybe even at some point the Trump administration wants to censor people for some reason. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's certainly possible. And if that ever does arise, you want to be making sure that you're posting content and leveraging a protocol that's uncensorable and distributed and doesn't have the central point of failure that can be leaned on to censor you.
Well, also Bitcoiners shouldn't let someone else hold the keys to their speech.
Sure.
Quite simply. Yeah.
We'll end it there. Peace and love, freaks.